preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
John's gospel is a gospel about life, the life that only Jesus Christ can give. And we have seen this contrasted. We have seen it explained. We've seen it come out in the very lives of these people whom Jesus has come for and transformed. We think about Nicodemus. We think about the woman at the well where she had been given, and these pictures of people who are given to all these idolatries, who are in pursuit to fill their lives with something and anything else other than Jesus, that they are empty. The woman at the well had five husbands. She had sought to have her fill and acceptance with men. Jesus has been coming and transforming people and filling them with himself. Filling them and giving them living water. And that's the whole truth of the Gospel of John, that in him is life. In him, there's true happiness and joy. And as the purpose of John's Gospel goes, you know, that we, these things are all written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that we may have life in his name. This is what John chapter 5 is explaining for us. Remember the scene. He has healed a man who's been in sickness for 38 years. He's raised him up. He's called him to himself. He's given him life. And the Jews are furious. Furious because he had, in their estimation, broken their Sabbath by healing on that day. And then, of course, his statements were clear as to what he was saying. He made himself equal with God. He said, all the works that God does, I do. Of course, he's true God. He goes on and he explains that all things are given into his hand, meaning judgment. The Father has committed to the Son judgment. He is going to judge. Well, before Jesus explains how that's all going to happen, he now describes what the life is that he gives, what it looks like to all these people who are standing there and who are refusing his life. He's explaining what the Son of Man has come to do. And if this life is not in you, and you will not come to him so that you may have this life, Jesus is teaching here that the consequences are eternal. Most people are not ready for what Christ describes here in John 5. It's one of the most powerful sections in the Gospels. Jesus is saying today, most are ready, all of us are ready to be dead soon. I mean real soon. The Bible likens your life to a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes away. A flower in the field that's here one day, gone the next. It's all about to end, dear listener. And unless, says Jesus, you have my life planted in you, in this window of your existence, in the time that you live and move and have your being under the sun, you will go forever to a place of eternal separation from God. Likened to complete blackness, aloneness, suffering, torments. The Bible and Jesus maintains this over and over again. So Jesus is calling people to consider whether they have this life. Nothing else can fill you. Nothing else can satisfy you. Not your sexual morality, not all your lusts, not all your cravings, not all the money you work for and the homes you build. None of that can ultimately satisfy you. Your children cannot satisfy you. We have so many idols today to choose from. Jesus here in John 5 is describing someone who has truly been filled with his life. And there is no passage more important to study over the radio. We're all about ready to drop into eternity. And Jesus is explaining the life you must have. Have you entered into it? The Jews here in John 5 want to kill him because he broke their Sabbath and provokingly made himself equal with God. Jesus had said, "The Father has been working until now. I've been working. I do the very same things." But here's where we pick up in verse 21. He said something in verse 21 of John 5 about his ability to give life. And then he warns that if you do not honor the Son, you do not honor the Father. Jesus, in no uncertain terms, has made himself equal with God. Now he picks up again on this life theme to describe the necessity of it since judgment has been committed to him. Look at verse 24, if you have your Bibles. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." Now, this is a wonderful verse. This is a wonderful verse. I want to break it down practically and then apply it today. What he is describing here is what happens when someone is initially given life. I mean, not just breathing, but I mean really living. The life that only Jesus Christ can give. In other words, here's what happens when spiritual life is given and placed into a dead soul. Remember, all of us, by nature, because of our sin, because of our fallen Adam, are dead in trespasses and sins. Now Jesus describes the beginning. Here's how it all starts for someone. This is where the moment is that ushers forth the beginnings of spiritual life in the soul of man. The verbs here for hearing and believing. Remember again the verse. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." The verbs here for hearing and believing in the Greek are present active participles. What that means is that these are ongoing things that are happening in the life of the follower of Jesus Christ. Now, what Christ is saying here is this: whoever has the ability to hear the word and believe in Jesus Christ, this is the token evidence that life has already been implanted into your heart. He doesn't say, now listen carefully. He doesn't say, if you believe and hear, you will have life. That's not what he says. He says, those who right now hear the word and believe already have life. They're in possession of life. Now, we have seen the key mark of not having life in John's gospel. When Christ approached all these people, what did he find? In John's gospel, he comes to Nicodemus, he comes to the woman at the well, he comes to the thrill seekers, he comes to... Did he find open reception? No. Nicodemus, you must be born again. How do I get into a womb? You see, he can't hear. He doesn't understand. He doesn't have spiritual ears. He doesn't have spiritual eyes. He doesn't have an open heart to understand what Jesus is saying. So when I say hear, I'm not talking about just the ability to listen with the ears. I'm talking about hearing the word by the power of the Spirit when the heart is opened up. Think of the woman at the well. "Ma'am, you need living water. And if you knew who I was, who said to you, 'Go get me a drink,' you would have asked, and I would have given you living water. But you don't have a bucket." You see? They can't hear. There's no interest. They can't listen to the word, you know? And then Jesus confronts her sin. "Go call your husband." "I have no husband." You see? No belief. No ability to hear. No belief. No willingness to see things for the way they are. And this goes on all the time today. Why do you think it's so hard to get your unbelieving friend to church? They don't have life. They haven't been given the ability to hear the word, to love the word of God, and to believe in Jesus Christ. And Christ is showing us through these people in John's gospel that unless life is planted in the heart, they won't believe. So after showing us deadness, people's deadness in the Gospels, all of a sudden, we should see a major shift in these people. The woman at the well, by the time Jesus is done with her, is running out and telling everyone about him. She heard. All of a sudden, these people want to go and tell others. They believe. They hear. Why? Because the principle of life was given in their dead hearts. And the whole point of the parable of the sower was to have people examine whether they have the ability to hear. Hearing and believing go hand in hand. Therefore, take heed how you hear, says Luke. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. You think it's coincidental that by the time we get to John 6, Jesus' teaching was so beyond them that from that time on, many left and could no longer handle it? Look, I said before, you want to know if there's life in you? What do you really think about the preaching of the word? What is your value of church? What is your value of God sending a messenger who proclaims his word? Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word preached. That's the means God has chosen. What happens when his word searches you and confronts you? You've seen the evidence when somebody doesn't have life. You know what a lifeless life is. What do they think about church? What do they think about the Word of God? It's incredibly boring. So painful to say. You know, maybe there's some listening today who have no life implanted in them, no response to the Word. If anything, you're antagonistic to it. All you have are endless questions. Always having questions and questions and questions and never getting answers. You see, you have no real involvement in the kingdom because you don't have life. You know you should be there. And that's the extent of your version of Christianity. For some, I'm sure, attending a church means absolutely nothing. You see, the word has not yet penetrated your heart so that you may have life. We see this again. I see it in the woman at the well who, when she was given life, drank living water, left her water pot behind. She no longer wanted to be filled with the waters that she once thought would fill her and satisfy her, but she was drinking Christ. She was eating his flesh. She was drinking his blood spiritually. There was life in the soul. You see it in the man of Bethesda, the man who was healed in this very chapter, John 5. You don't see it with the Jews who hate what they're hearing and they want to put to death Jesus Christ. It says that in this very section. They want to kill him. You see, what Jesus is describing here, nothing in the world, not alcohol, not sex, not money, not all the securities we have can ever satisfy us. Only Christ can. And I promise you, when you taste and see him in his goodness and satisfying mercies, you've found everything you've ever been searching for in this life. He's the vine. You are the branches. His life flows into you. But every branch, he says, that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Jesus describes this life, this quenching of thirst, that only he can give. Dear radio listener, we'll come back to this. Are you filled with the life that Jesus Christ can give? Are you able to hear and believe in the name of the Son? Founding Grace Radio was brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden, a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's Day. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.